Take your Bibles, if you will, as we continue our lessons from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16. We'll begin reading at verse 13 shortly. Title of our sermon this morning is The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail. Let's begin reading, and let's stand first, if you would, in verse 13 of Matthew 16. We'll read down through verse 18, well-known words and verses. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that the church is built upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. We are so glad, Lord, that you bless us, that you have blessed this nation with gospel preaching churches. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, your patience. Lord, may we be found faithful serving you when you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Last week we talked how that Jesus Christ calls Peter a little rock or a little stone. And then he calls himself a large rock. And it's upon that rock that the church is built. And we said last week that Jesus would not be a welcome guest speaker in many of our churches today. And we gave one of the reasons that the Lord believed in the creation story of Genesis along with the story of Noah's flood. But one of the things that we did not mention last week was that he believed in the marriage of one man to one woman. Jesus said in Matthew 19, 4 and 5, and he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." There is nothing that will divide and hurt a family more than immorality. Pray for me. Some things are not easy to talk about. But today, society wants to make everything okay, even at destroying its very core foundations. The evolutionists did not attack Jesus Christ or Christmas or Easter, but they attacked the first 11 chapters of Genesis. The creation, the flood, the Tower of Babel, marriage. Marriage is a picture of Christ and his church, the bride. And Satan tries to counterfeit everything that our Lord makes and creates. Some of you have struggled with decisions made within your family that 25 or 45 or 125 years would have been kept in a closet. And some of you have struggled with this when a child or a grandchild has come to you and said that I'm going to do this in my life, and it has hurt. I remember when one of the members of our family, their son, found out that he had AIDS. Though they told the family members of the church that he had cancer. You know, the fact of the matter is we live in a society that is struggling because it is drifting from the Word of God. The evolutionist has done his job. He has made it to be even like Eve when Satan said, truly, has God said this? Is this what he really means? Well, this is 2019, and surely the Word of God is now antiquated, and it was for another generation, but it isn't for today. I'm here to declare that the Word of God is for today, and that it is necessary, and that there are right ways to live. And I'm going to tell you this, that they tell us to be tolerant, but I know this, that if I ordered or if I got a can of green beans and I got home and inside were peas, I would not tolerate it. Yes? If you took your car to be repaired after an accident and your car was white and they repaired your car and yet they didn't put a white door on your car, but they put a red door on your car and you complained and they said, well, you've got to be tolerant. Would you tolerate that? No, you would say that door needs to be white. Folks, there are right ways to live. And marriage is important to our Lord. He established the family. And I don't care what today's society is trying to tell us, men are men and women are women. And God doesn't make mistakes. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Many of the things that the Lord spoke would have kept him from being part of today's churches. And one of the things that he expected of his people was that they would repent. And yet today society doesn't want the word repent in their churches. They want to believe that I'm okay and you're okay, and we just won't mention certain things. We find in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 that there were seven churches mentioned here. Seven actual churches during the Apostle John's day. They represent, in my opinion, seven types of churches found in society today. All seven of these churches can be found here. They represent, in my opinion, seven church ages from the times of the apostles to the return of Jesus Christ. Ephesus, from the time of Christ organizing the church to the death of the disciples. Smyrna, the time of great persecution to the days of Constantine in 313 AD. Pergamos, the church under imperial rule. Thyatira, a time of near total apostasy of the church when she, the church, reigned as a queen in opulence and splendor. Sardis, the church of the Reformation. Philadelphia, the age of the church's great missionary expansion. Laodicea, the lukewarm era of the church of the last days immediately prior to the return of Christ. May I say this, Jesus was not afraid to get into the face of his listeners or his disciples or his followers. If you have a red letter edition like I am using, you'll find that much of Revelation 2 and 3 are in red, or Christ spoke these words. So let's begin with Ephesus chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and what? Repent. Jesus was saying to this church that had been so close in time to where Jesus was. He says, you've left your first love. Repent. Repent. I call out today, are there here today, those who need to repent? Those that need to get their heart right with God? Oh, you may be here and you may be dressed in your church bib and tuck, but are you right with God? Smyrna chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Of the seven churches, there are two in which there were no complaints. Now, I'll be honest with you, if the Lord were to come in here and judge our church, it'd be great if he found no complaints. He only had commendation for their works, for their time of tribulation, for their poverty, for the Lord's sake, and they were highly pleasing to the Lord. It's good to know that a church can please the Lord by its actions and its attitude. We come to Pergamos, chapter 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them which hold the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent! Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Their faithfulness to Christ's name, even in the face of martyrdom, was special. But they still needed to repent because they had begun to slide into false teachings and doctrines. Do you believe that it's easy for a church to slide from its right teachings? You know that within a couple of generations, that which was holy and right can slip away to something that is totally wrong? Absolutely. Tonight we'll be speaking from the book of Judges, and we'll find that within two generations, the people of Israel that had come into the promised land had slid into idolatry. It happens very, very quickly. Thyatira, beginning at verse 18. "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, whose hath his eyes like unto a flame of a fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." The church had become political. It denied the truth of the Word of God. They were spiritually immoral. Spiritually immoral. They had religion, but they didn't have the truth. And the one, they had begun to slide into false teaching, and now they were teaching false teachings. And the church had become political, and they had power, and sometimes power corrupts. And it's what it had done at that time. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Sardis. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast, wherefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I shall come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The church of the Reformation, they had a reputation for life with signs, though, of death. And once again, that church was asked to repent. These seven churches represent churches of today. In other words, our church is like one of these seven churches. It's like seven of them. It's one or the other. Only two pleased the Lord. The others were to repent and get things right. The church of Philadelphia, beginning at verse 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." This second church that has no complaint, it was a time of great missionary work. When hundreds and thousands of missionaries went out of England and out of Wales and Scotland, they went around the world. And we know that in America, great missionary efforts have been made. They were faithful to the word of God. And then we come to this last church, the church of Laodicea, beginning at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This lukewarm church, they were going through the motions. They were deluded, complacent, careless. I believe it sounds like a lot of churches today, simply going through the motions. I believe it's why a lot of young people today say, well, they're just going through the motions. They sing the songs on Sunday and they hear the sermon and they go out of the church having nothing changed. And yet, again, the Lord calls for repentance. You say, well, Pastor Paul, why do you think that Christ would not be invited into most churches to speak? Well, in conclusion, let's read verses 20 through 22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Christ is outside knocking on the door, wanting admission. For he is not a welcome guest. Our churches today are full of entertainment. You would be amazed at what we get in the way of magazines and what we could do to entertain you. I was showing a flyer that we received in the mail and teasingly said to Pastor Stephen, I said, well, I guess we'll start promoting this. But I guarantee you, we certainly wouldn't. Entertainment is what people want today. And yet, what does the Lord want? He wants us to repent. He wants us to draw near to him. Jesus would say, there are right ways to live, and the world may be going in one direction, but we are not. Dr. Mark talked about Elijah being told that there were 7,000 that had not bowed down to Baal nor kissed it. And yet who was the leading religion at this very time that this happened? It was not the Lord Jehovah. It was false religion. Do we have false religion in our society today? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. We must be careful. We must not drift. We must remain steady and remain on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior today? Is He your Lord? If you've never accepted Him, we know that He has provided a priceless gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May I encourage you to get your heart right with God. And we, even as a church, need to make sure that we are faithful to Him. Shall we stand together? 401 is our song of invitation. Only trust Him. If there's any today that need to know Christ as their Savior, you can come today and trust Him. We would be glad to show you from the Word of God what must needs be done. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask that Your name would be honored and glorified, that the Spirit would move, that hearts would be touched. Lord, we pray that You would protect the Covenant Baptist Church of Sterling Heights. That, Lord, it may remain strong and faithful to You. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.